Hey, everybody. Hey, Damien.
Hey. Welcome to the Big What's It.
No.
Oh, what? No.
I thought welcome that to Shit Kickers and Methodists.
Oh. I thought we were going with the other one.
The Big What's It.
Yeah.
I like the Big What's It, but I saw that written down and I thought, that does not seem nearly as funny as it did last night when we were at Applebee's finding out, like, how big are their $1 margaritas?
Which they were plenty big.
They were big enough where if you get three of them each, you write down the big what's it, and it seems
it was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny. Not so much the next day.
Yeah.
When you don't have any margaritas, but oh well. I like Shit Kickers and Methodists.
Always a classic.
This is podcast episode number 41, and so far we have no theme music. We have no catchy, tagline at the end to let people know that's it. You got your money's worth. You got your 25 cents worth. And no name. And that's pathetic. It's just pathetic.
But we have put one out almost every week.
That's true. And considering what else goes on around here, you wouldn't even believe it. Oh, my gosh. You know what I did this morning? I was sitting there with a spray bottle watching the cat go after the lizard. And the two of them think that the two of them are, first of all, they're both adolescents, basically.
Yes.
And they both think they're so so tough.
they're having a beef is what they're doing.
They are. They strut around. They do these sort of arcane animal threatening things that they imagine look intimidating.
Yeah.
And
so what you're saying is they're both ready to start writing for 1 Peter 5.
This is not a political. Oh wait, that's not political. Go ahead. All right. Anyway, oh, the cat took a bath today. Did I tell you? Although I have to say,
neither I would say both the cat and the lizard appear to be fully heterosexual, so I don't think they could write for 1 Peter 5. What?
I don't know. I was gazing off into space, and I don't know what happened. So this is why we lose pledges every single week.
That's 90%
we start out talking
my
about
fault.
A lizard fight and it goes downhill immediately.
It's
from
almost
there.
Always my fault.
Yeah, well.
I used to lose you a lot of subscribers.
That's true. Like now you mainly lose me Facebook readers.
But I almost never comment on your Facebook page.
I know, but they know that you're reading it and it bothers them.
Well, some of them are fucking idiots.
Well, it bothers me too.
And they're fucking phonies.
All right. You know what? I feel like we're getting off track. I feel like we're losing the thread, as everybody likes to say.
Listen,
now.
If you want to start going over my enemies list, I'd be happy to anytime.
I do not have time to go over your enemies list. Nobody has time for that. Do you want to? Oh, speaking of enemies list, you want to talk about Irene? You want to talk about?
Oh gosh, that girl, her. Angry little heart warms me so much.
She always comes in. She's got this sort of angry Sylvester the Cat aesthetic going on.
Yeah. she's how old? She's 8?
Yeah.
She's 8, yeah.
I don't know. Is there a story?
No. Well, her music class.
Oh, the poor guy. They have their music teacher quit like 3 days before.
The music
school
teacher
started.
At our children's school is akin to the defense of the dark arts teacher.
Right, or the drummer for...
For Spinal Tap, yeah.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, they come and they go, and some of them are good, some of them are like, I guess they don't pay you a lot. So they got this poor guy in, you know, 24 hours before school is supposed to start or something like that. And I hear the kids, and they're talking about... Jared's prancing musical show. Like, what is that? They're like, oh, that's what we call music classes. Jared's prancing musical show. And I said, do all the kids call it that? And she's like, no. And I was like, do you kids just call it that? I mean, she's like, no, I just said it. I don't know. She just says things.
Which I totally understand.
Yes.
1,000%.
The blurting. She got the blurting gene, didn't she? She got it from both barrels, as it were.
Yeah.
Well, you know, though, I have to say, though, that school, it's not, a lot of the rules at that school were made in direct response to our children.
Mostly
our
Irene.
Children have done. Yeah. But that is not to say that the school itself has not made some missteps in the past. I was thinking, do you remember the time they had this brilliant idea that they were going to reward good behavior and like good friendship and you know sticking
well, this
up for
was just,
each other.
This was the kindergarten class.
No, it was for the whole school.
Oh, it was the whole school.
Yes, it was the whole school because it goes all the way up to eighth. I don't know if they had it for eighth grade, but it went all the way up to the sixth grade anyway. And they were going to award you know, insert name of school bucks, and you could turn them in for, I don't know, t-shirts or something like this. Well, within, they shut it down. They shut it
like
down so
a week.
Fast.
Like 72
hours.
It wasn't even,
yeah. I think it was closer to 48 hours. Yeah. They had counterfeit rings. They had extortion. They had corruption. They had some kind of like, what do you call that? They had racketeering. I don't even know what racketeering
is.
No
one does.
And it was in kindergarten. It was terrible. I couldn't. It was very, very Lord of the Flies-ish, except it was like Wall Street Lord of the Flies.
It was little kids, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's not, but that wasn't our kids, though. Our kids are too stupid about money to be dishonest.
Well, which they come by honestly.
Which they, both barrels again. Yes. That's all right. Well, Lucy and Irene, they're in a shared classroom, and they were having class elections, and they were both running for secretary. I was like, oh my gosh.
Secretary?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Can they aim lower?
Well, they didn't want to be president because, I don't know anything about it. They both wanted to be secretary. One of them won, and the other one immediately started to research how do you impeach a secretary. So I guess she's learning about civics or something. I don't know. Anyway, I don't have to homeschool them. Ha, 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 ha. Every once in a while, I'm, you know, sweeping under some furniture or something, and I'll find, like, a subtraction flashcard. And it warms my heart because I could just throw that fucker away. It's just, you know,
well,
it's just not my problem.
I like realizing that there's a problem with one of the kids. Yeah. And there's really, we don't have to do anything about that. That's really, that's Miss Jenny's problem, that our five-year-old is leading a gang, a violent gang.
Oh my gosh, that's actually true. I saw it in action. I thought the kids were exaggerating, as they sometimes do. And then we were at Girl Scouts, and Benny and one of her little friends was there from kindergarten, and Irene walked by, and they took her down. They just took her, and Irene is not she takes after the Fisher side. She's a big,
she's a stocky, sturdy,
tall, broad person. And they just took her down. It was like when the hyenas come for a wildebeest or something. And you think, oh, how are they going to, that big thing, how, oh.
Yeah,
and
they
just
did.
And he's lying on his side, and they're tearing his guts out. It was terrible. But then it was time to go on the hike, so they let her up. But it was, and I just saw, that was a little taste of it. I mean, big recess is a lot longer than that.
Yeah, and there are more kindergartners.
And there are more kindergartners, too.
Little savages.
It's like, what was the name of that TV show that...
Recess.
Recess. On, yeah. It was like on ABC or something.
We went back when we watched Saturday morning cartoons.
Right.
As adults.
That was the only TV channel we got, as I recall.
Yeah, back when we lived in a place that got TV reception. We don't get reception out here anymore.
Yeah. No, well, there's too many mountains out here. You don't get anything. You're lucky if you get... electricity. That's not true. We get electricity all the time.
Most days, yeah.
But, yeah. Well, I'm going to change gears a little bit because found out something that's going to shock you, Damien. I was reading a news article that had a lot of research in it, okay? And here's one of the paragraphs in it. And I know that you're a reporter, but I think you might want to take notes because this is how you write a news article.
Okay.
Okay. Everything related to time travel today is related to science fiction, or so it seems at least. Interestingly, on May 2nd, 1972, an Italian newspaper shocked the world when they published an article with a provoking headline, colon, a machine that photographs the past has finally been invented. And guess who has it?
I don't know.
The Vatican.
Of course.
It's called a chronovisor. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, and I don't want to step on any toes or anything. But it says, they describe it. The chronovisor is a relatively small object. that's informative. Sorry, I don't know why I think that's so funny. It is a relatively small object in that it is smaller than some objects, I guess. That
Do
is
they have
equipped
a comparison, like a bread box? Usually it's smaller than a bread box, bigger
than
a bread box.
No. It's going to tell you all you need to know, okay? It's equipped with a number of antennas and is composed entirely of precious alloys, cathode tubes, some dials, and levers. And it apparently like snatches up little bits of human experience that are floating around in the ether, and then like shows it on a TV screen or something, and then you have to click your heels and say, and they use it mainly to watch like what really happened at Sodom and Gomorrah and the crucifixion and stuff. They're not watching Recess on ABC, in other words.
Really? So yeah. The Vatican has this whole time they've had this.
Yes, they keep it in one of their many chambers, I think I remember reading. But they don't want people to get it. I mean, like non-Vatican people, because it could be dangerous. I don't know. Huh. I don't know. I had no idea. I'm part of the newspaper reading public, and now I know something that I didn't know before.
I did not know that either.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. I'm going to get this over with. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So there's yet another update on the Mad Pooper, apparently.
Oh, yes.
Did you want to cover this as it
were? Well, I mean, we had the update last week that the Mad Pooper spokesperson came out and said that the Mad Pooper had actually suffered brain trauma during gender reassignment surgery and couldn't help pooping all over the place.
Okay, and that the part, and as we stated, that was the sad part, and then the angrifying part was where the YouTube spokesperson said that it was a First Amendment issue.
First Amendment, yes. Well, it turns out that was all a hoax.
Oh, it was?
It was all a hoax.
It was a hoax.
It was, and...
But it seems so real.
It did seem so real. And now the police out there in Colorado Springs really don't want to talk about this anymore.
No, this is in Deadspin.
They have not caught the Mad Pooper. Though.
They have not caught the Mad. Well, he's a runner.
She is.
The Mad Pooper is a runner, so already running. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
This is. I did. I have to say, I liked this first paragraph, the opening paragraph in the Deadspin article. The Colorado Springs Police Department's public information officer audibly sighed into the phone Monday as he told me again that there were still no updates on the hunt for the Mad Pooper, the feculent jogger who had been terrorizing the city. So now you know the word feculent.
Isn't that a great word?
Yeah.
That's I aspire to be able to use that. I don't cover pooping issues so much though.
Yeah. Did your poop in the gubernatorial chambers get
City Hall? Yeah, no, we didn't. No,
you didn't cover that
at
all.
I figured it was
okay.
Best left unsaid.
To me, the fact that that's not considered newsworthy is kind of a news story in itself. Like, is it like, oh, it's just another day of pooping on the carpet in the Capitol?
Well, it's one of those things. I just don't have time to cover.
Okay, well, that's good. That's how life should be. I don't have time to write a story about poop right now.
If they make an arrest, I will cover it. If it turns out to be one of the aldermen, and you know who I'm thinking of, then, you know, I'll cover it. But it's just most likely it was a homeless guy, because homeless guys hang out at the city hall all
I know,
the time,
it's warm, there's coffee. Yeah. All right, what about if it turns out to be Nicolas Cage?
I think that wouldn't everything be better if it always turned out to be Nicolas Cage, no matter what the situation?
I think Nicolas Cage is a hoax.
No.
Wouldn't that explain a thing or two? A bad lieutenant and so forth?
I will not hear a bad thing. That is a terrific movie.
I know. I want to watch totally it again. Underrated. That had lizards in it, I think.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Well, okay, but the reason I bring it up is because there's a new Japanese, well, it's not a new Japanese snack food, but apparently they like to use it to promote different things, and right now they're using it to promote the new Nicolas Cage movie, apparently. I'm not in the loop.
He is in a little tax trouble, so he makes a lot of money.
Oh, he is a hardworking guy.
Yeah.
Well, the name of the, so there's these weird, like, wafer kind of stick things, and it has Nicolas Cage's horrible face plastered all over it, like, from side to side, I don't know. I mean, I realize there's, like, some cultural differences, but, like, nobody wants to see that, nobody.
No.
And if you translate the name of the snack food, it's called Delicious Stick. So now you know something. I came very close to knowing something. I came across a headline that says people walked slightly differently. Hold on a second. People walked slightly differently in the Middle Ages, in medieval times, excuse me. And I thought, they did? Like, for some reason, that's really interesting. Like, every once in a while, you find out something about that. Like, in the Middle Ages, they didn't sleep all night on purpose. They would get up in the middle of the night, they'd make some eggs, they'd do their taxes or whatever. And apparently, they're also, like, walking around, like, giant weirdos all the time because, like, they didn't have... Okay, I skimmed a little bit.
So the Middle Ages people were toddlers?
No, they were, like, weirdo ballet dancers or something. Like, they would walk, like, toe first. They would do this kind of, like, prancing musical show kind of thing, okay. I guess is what you'd call it. It was one of those things where it's got a headline that you kind of want to read, and then you go to it and it has three lines and then it has a video.
I don't have time
to write about poop. I don't have time to watch videos about prancing musical shows in medieval times. So I watched a little bit of it, and it was this guy that English was definitely not his first language, and he was wearing red tights. And he was like groping for words even worse than I'm doing now. And he was explaining how in his personal life, even when he's not dressed up in his red tights, there's sometimes a snail on the ground. So he'll sort of put his toe down first. So rather than putting his full weight down, so I stopped watching.
Was this also the spokesman for the Mad Pooper?
I should hope so. All right. I don't think they have First Amendment rights where he comes from, though. Do you know anything else about the Middle Ages?
They did not have forks.
That's not true.
It's true.
They used dogs instead of forks. Something like that.
Henry the Second. He was like one of the first guys to have a fork.
Right. They would just like take a knife and pick it up and put their face in it. I would not have been able to deal with it.
Well, you would grow up that way.
Yeah, but you know. Surely even in the Middle Ages people had issues. Don't you think people had issues in the Middle Ages? Or they were too busy.
They were too busy dying of plague.
Either dying of plague or not dying of plague. Either way, it would keep them busy.
Yeah. Like, oh, look, another tooth fell out. All right, got to go back to the fields.
All right, but that happens to me too. So thanks a lot, Obamacare, or whatever. Oh, I found it. Here's a story that I was sort of two minds about. Okay. Trick or treat in this one town in Pittsburgh, I guess. Wait, Pittsburgh is a town. No, in Pittsburgh, Damien.
Most people know what Pittsburgh is.
I don't know, some kind of.
Listen. Yeah. If they had any taste, they wouldn't be living in Pittsburgh.
Well, I don't think people. I mean, we used to live in Claremont.
That's true.
Was that a reflection on us?
No, that was the line from that Sullivan's Travels. You know, what do they know in Pittsburgh? They know what they like. If they knew what they like, they wouldn't be living in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
That's a good bit. I haven't seen that whole movie, but what was it? Hey, Hayloft.
So long, sarong.
The poor guy is being persecuted because he's trying to write meaningful screenplays that include, you know, the full richness of the human experience that he's never actually suffered in his life. And they're right. Like, how dare you?
And the producers just want him to do another musical comedy. And he's like, right. No, I want to make this important document with a little sex in it.
Well, that's a fair point. So in actual Pittsburgh, not silly Pittsburgh, but actual Pittsburgh, in Mount Pleasant, wherever that might be, I feel like that's asking for trouble when you name something Mount Pleasant. Like, you're begging people to be like, oh yeah.
Well, you know? Some people have aspirations, and you don't.
Well, no, I should hope not. It's too late for that. Well, so they've decided that there's a problem. That people are trucking in kids for trick-or-treating, and they're kids that don't belong in
the
neighborhood. And at first I was kind of like, hey, because we do that.
We do that all the time.
Well, we live on the highway, and there's nowhere to go trick-or-treating around here.
When you say
here.
That, yeah. We don't live on the highway as most people understand it.
Well,
we live on a busy road in New Hampshire, which is considered
a
highway.
Yes, that's true. No, that's true. But the point is we
live off of a state route.
Correct. We don't have any sidewalks is all I meant to say.
No, yeah, no.
I just meant there's no, it's not a neighborhood. We don't have a neighborhood. We have a few neighbors, but you know, you're going to have to go through the backyard if you want to get there. And there's some dispute about where the boundary of the backyard is. Anyway, they buried their dog there, and then there was a fire, and you know, I think I used up, like, the chief of police punched my card for the year, and I can't call them again about that particular neighbor. Anyway, so we don't have any sidewalks. That's all I'm trying to say. So we go, and then we were going to go in our own town, but it sucks because it's just this little town, and nobody has any good candy here.
No, they don't.
So we go into the other town, and everybody knows that there's going to be lots of trick or treaters there, and they make a big deal out of it. They put up decorations,
it's fun. And the full size candy bars.
Full size candy bars, extra. Yeah. So, but apparently, it goes. It's not just a matter of like. Nice families like us going this story is kind of falling apart. But apparently they're like a really bussing, like a lot of people in, like actually literally bussing them on buses in.
Oh gosh.
And then there's the problem of that in some places they do trick-or-treating not on Halloween. They say, we're going to have Halloween on the 27th. Well, we're going to have Halloween on the 29th. And it's just like six blocks down. So you could end up like having to shell out candy to like thousands of kids over the course of several nights, and I could see how that would be a
problem.
Might
be a, that might be a drag, yeah.
But oh my gosh, on the same, at the same time, it was kind of pathetic because the police station was issuing official bags, and they have to present their bags if they want to get candy, and then they told them to go ahead and use their discretion. And I thought, man, oh man, can't we just celebrate Satan without dragging all this politics into it for once, you know? Oh, I'm pretty happy with the kids' Halloween costumes shaping up this year. Mm. I tried to push, once again, as I always do, for Upside Down Gorilla, because Upside Down Gorilla is the best Halloween costume in the world. You take some pants, and you put them on your head and your arms, and you put some shoes on your feet, and then you take a big shirt, and you put it on your legs, and and you safety pin it together, and then you take a gorilla mask, and you safety pin it to the collar that's dangling down between your knees, and it's Upside Down Gorilla, and everybody loves it. It's great. It's the best costume in the world, and you can, like, stand on one leg, and it looks like you're standing on one hand.
That's really pretty great.
Well, you have to put gloves on your feet.
Yeah.
But it's a good, it's hot. It's a hot costume. But but it's better than a cold costume. That's what I think. But the other kids this year, I was so happy. A lot of them are being non-trademarked characters, like non-franchise. Because they always want to be like some very specific character from a video game that not only do I not know, but I'm pretty sure I told them they weren't allowed to play and stuff, and it doesn't look right when I do it, and it's so difficult.
Yeah.
But Mo, the teenager, and Benny, the 5-year-old, are both going to be vampires this year.
They'd be vampire
it's
buddies.
It's going to be so cute. I can't wait. Corey is going to be a puppy. I'm
pretty
sure.
Going to be Robin.
She's going to be a puppy or a Robin. Or, yeah, Robin, the character.
Or a vampire.
Or a vampire. I know.
She's
it's
a little
fine.
Indecisive.
It's fine. She doesn't know what she's talking about. It's fine. It'll work out fine. One of the girls wants to be a fairy.
Nice.
I think she may have done that, like, just for me, you know, because I'm feeling sad and I want someone to be a fairy. And Elijah's going to be some. Elijah made a Donkey Kong arcade game that fits over like a three-dimensional, like with a moving joystick and everything. That he's incredible. He made it in the course of like 48 hours, but then he decided that he was going to do something else instead because he likes to mix.
He's very good.
He's very good. He has a very specific set of skills, and he's very good. I don't know what the rest of them are going to be. Something weird.
I told them to ask Elijah for help.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. He's very good. Boy, I thought it says gang problems. What does that mean?
Well, that was Benny's gang.
Oh, that was Benny's gang. Okay. Do you have any other gang problems besides that?
Not that I can think of.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, let me know if I fix you up with something, I guess. So I was running the other day. I went ahead and went out running by myself for the first time in 24 years, something like that. And it was not that bad. I was afraid that I was going to be like, well, I'm alone. Nobody will know. I might as well just walk. But I didn't. I kept running. Usually when we go running together, we talk and stuff, which is nice because we don't spend that much time together. So it's nice to be able to do that. But we just couldn't figure out childcare, so we're taking turns now. So I was listening to music, and I was listening to the Rhythm of the Saints because I figured that's a nice brisk, you know, Paul Simon.
Oh, yeah.
That album holds the heck up. That's something that I listened to.
It's pretty solid.
It is. I listened to it over and over again in college, and it holds up. It's really good. And he's, he has a tendency to put too many words in his songs. And most of the time it works, but every once in a while you're like, settle down, Paul, you know. But the lyrics to, what is it called? Born at the Right Time. I thought were really good, and I thought I would go ahead and read that as my poem for the week.
It sounds like a solid plan.
Does that sound like a solid plan
yes,
to you?
It does.
I thought it sounded, you know, I had it in my head that it sounded a little bit like Robert Frost. Now that I'm going over it, that is not true.
Not quite.
But no. But I'm going to go ahead and read it anyway. And most of the time, you know, most of the time when you read, like, were you in seventh grade and you had some, like, aging hippie English teacher who decided that there was some great poetry? Like, my sister was in high school and they were learning about tragedy. They were learning about Shakespearean tragedy. And they had them listen to Tragedy by the Bee Gees. It's tragedy when you can't go on and you're feeling down. It's tragedy. Or does that sound familiar to you?
That does not sound like anything I've ever heard.
I'll have to, maybe that could be our theme song. But it didn't add anything to the class, as I recall it. I feel like. But this is different. This is a better song than that.
Okay.
This is not by the Bee Gees. All right, here we go. This is Paul Simon's Born at the Right Time. All right. Down among the reeds and rushes, a baby boy was found. His eyes as clear as centuries. His silky hair was brown. Never been lonely, never been lied to. Never had to scuffle in fear, nothing denied to. Born at the instant the church bells chime, the whole world whispering, born at the right time. Me and my buddies were traveling people. We like to go down to a restaurant row, spend those Euro dollars all the way from Washington to Tokyo. I see them in the airport lounge upon their mother's breast. They follow me with open eyes, their uninvited guest. That made me laugh. I knew exactly which baby he was talking about. Never been lonely, never been lied to, never had to scuffle in fear, nothing denied to. Born at the instant the church bells chime, and the whole world whispering, born at the right time. Too many people on the bus from the airport, too many holes in the crust of the earth. The planet groans every time it registers another birth. But down among the reeds and rushes, a baby girl was found. Her eyes as clear as centuries. Her silky hair was brown. Never been lonely, never been lied to. Never had to scuffle in fear, nothing denied to. Born at the instant the church bells chime, and the whole world whispering, born at the right time.
That's pretty great.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it? It's, you know what? It sounds like Langston Hughes, now that I think of it. More than Robert
I'll take your
Frost.
Word for it.
Yeah.
I didn't. I was drinking a lot in college.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't think we read Langston Hughes in college. We definitely read Robert Frost.
Yeah.
We did not read the Bee Gees, however.
Nor. All right. I think we should ask people, patrons, if they have a suggestion for a theme song.
Sure, a theme song, although, you know, copyright, whatever, blah, blah.
Well, you get like 2 seconds or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look that up.
Well, anyway, here is my, maybe we could go out on this.
Oh, no.
I think we've heard this before, but I think it really would work for a theme song for
All
us.
All right, go for it. Oh. For some reason, it's very meaningful to Damien, and I haven't been able to figure out why, but there we go.